Now, I told you guys I'm a missionary. Okay? Now, this is, in case you didn't notice, this is the Great Commission that's given to all of us, not just the missionary, to all of us. It says, and Jesus, now this is just before he went up into heaven. Okay? Just before the ascension. And Jesus came to them and spake to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now you can't, if you believe in Jesus, if you believe in the Lord, there is no more power. Because he's got it all. He is the higher power. He's got that power. Okay? He said, I got the power. He said, now what I want you to do is to go out and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now what does it mean to make somebody a disciple and to baptize them? What does that mean? What is a disciple?
Teach people about God. Teach people about God.
Okay, we're going to teach them. But before we can teach them, what do we have to do?
Prepare them, heal them from their problems.
Well, we've got to have a relationship with them. Because a disciple is a follower. See, we're called to be disciples of Christ. We're called to be followers of Christ. So we're going to follow Christ. Okay? And we want other people to follow us to Christ. That's why when we disciple somebody, we get them to follow. Okay? Now, it says, and then the baptizing. Now, when we baptize somebody, what do? We dip them, put them in the water. Okay, a lot of people get wet, you know. And some of them get wet in the swimming pool, some of them get wet in the river, some of them get wet in the church, you know. Okay, we baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But when we baptize them, okay, we baptize them not just with water, but there's also a spirit, this whole spiritual thing. It says that when we're baptized, we put on Christ. But we don't just put on the goody-goody Christ. Okay, we don't just put on the resurrection. Okay? We don't just put on the power. Okay? We also put on his crucifixion. We put on the things that led him to the crucifixion. Okay? We assume all the things that he taught us as being truth that we must also follow. And he followed the commandments that he gave us unto death. Love is number one. Okay, so we've got this commandment of love. Now, when we talk about following Christ and loving, okay, then we have to ask ourselves clearly about our brothers and sisters. Because, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I had this big gospel, you know, he says, well, get away from me, you workers of iniquity, because I don't know you. He said, I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me water. I was naked, you didn't close me. I was in prison, and you didn't visit me. And they said, well, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or naked or in prison? You know, and he said, when you did it not to the least of these brethren, you did it not to me. Okay, you know, do we really love our brothers and sisters?
Okay.
See, this is a challenge, but this is the beauty of it. This is the nice thing about it. You know, we can never love enough. No matter how much we love, you know, we can never love enough. We can never give enough. We can never die enough. We can never surrender enough. We can never have enough faith. You know, because if we had even a little bit of faith, okay, we could do great things. But we lack faith. We have fear. We have too much fear. Too much. I mean, a lot of times, there'll be a guy in the corner, you know, and he's got the sign out, you know, hungry, no work or something, you know. And I think, oh, God, if I give that guy a buck, the guy behind me is going to honk the horn, you know, and I don't want to, you know, I put up with that guy behind me, you know, so I just drive. That's not good. You know, I should just take the time, park the car, give the guy the, you know. It's we lack love. And we are to teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And that's mostly the law of love. Love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and body, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And how do we love God? We love God by dying to His will. Okay, by seeking His will, by doing His will, which is what we find in those texts. So He says, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And I believe that, because He's with us all the time, constantly. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your prayers, for your blessings. Now, here's my email address here. It's floydfrancis@gmail.com. You can look us on ocmc.org or stdemetri.org. And thank you very much for your time and your patience. Yes. Well, I know it's 3 o'clock and we promised 3 o'clock.
So. It's 2:52.
Oh, did I get that?
8 more minutes.
Yeah.
Well, we have time for questions. We have time for questions.
I have a question.
Yes.
Could you talk a little bit about the relations between finances and recovery in relation to helping others? I think it's an area that the addicts are getting their money from somewhere, and I mean, for parents or for friends, it's sometimes from us, you know, without us knowing or something. But does that come up a lot in your work, dealing with helping them manage finances or relearn finances? Or?
Well, it comes up, yeah, and over there, money's very hard. This money's tight, and so there's less taking of money, like say from the family, as far as a younger person, let's say a child, the parents spending money on a child. Although we're seeing that, okay, as we're seeing more of a middle class emerge, we're starting to get some young people in there who's exploiting their parents. What we see more of is neglect by one of the parents by drinking up the money that belongs in the household. Okay, that's what we see more of. And that'd be the biggest one. Okay, but money's different over there. It's not, you know, people just don't have the. It's just, you know, over here it's just like money's floating everywhere. Yeah.
Jim and I worked for about 16 years with alcoholics and addicts, and we never gave them money, and we told them, the people who we were with, not to give them money. But if they were hungry, we'd go and have a hamburger with them. And if we needed gas for the car, we would go with them.
Yeah.
And put gas in the car,
yeah.
But we never gave them money.
Well, you know, that's the most loving way to do it. See, you would make a good parent. Do you need a child?
I need a child. Not that one.
No, seriously. Because it takes time.
Yeah.
Okay, and a little bit of courage to invest yourself to go with that person. Okay, you know. The money is a small part of it. You know, I mean, everyone's got a couple bucks to go to Amber. Yeah, but it's the time and being face to face in person, you know, with that poverty or with that need or with that confusion or with that other person. You know that's yeah. However, you having said that, I have a friend of mine, James Goodwin, Father James, who is a missionary in Romania, a guy I respect tremendously. I call him my teacher. And we'd be going down the street in Cluj in Romania, and here come the beggars over there. There are a lot of beggars over there. And he'd say, man, he said, this is a professional beggar, you know. And he said, look, he wouldn't give any money, you know. And so this is after I came over there, you know. And I said, oh, gosh, Craig, you know, I look pretty desperate now. He said, those are speckers. I'm not going to give any money. So we'd go on, you know. So then after a couple of years, Craig could be very generous with money and with time and everything. And he is a very nice man. And but one day I got to thinking, well, okay, Now, it says in the scriptures to judge not. We're not supposed to judge people. And it says, you know, that we're supposed to try to help the needy, you know, the hungry and the thirsty. So I decided, well, okay, if and sometimes I do what you say. Sometimes I, especially if it's a kid, you know, I'll get them a sandwich. You know, I'll make sure that they eat the thing, that they don't go home and give it to the mother or the father to buy alcohol with, so they don't, you know, because they don't get them. Sometimes the kids are over there on the streets begging, so they don't get beat by the parents because they don't have, you know, it's a tough deal or something. There's less of that today, but it's still there. And it was just there's an old person or something, I'll just give them the money. I'll just give them a lay, you know, it's about 30 cents or something, you know. And that's all they ever want. You know, they're happy with that, you know. And then they'll bless me and everything, you know. And so I say, well, it's, you know, we're not called to judge them. You know, we're called to love them. Okay, and I'd rather err on the side of love than on the side of being correct. Okay? But then sometimes I don't give money too. I mean, you know, it's just whatever's in your heart, you know, and that's, yeah.
You know, just the last thing I'm going to say, but addicts and alcoholics, because we work so long with them, they're very, very good at being manipulated.
Oh, yeah.
They know how.
Yeah.
So, the church we were going to, they went to the church, and the woman said, they've shut off the heat, they've shut off everything in our house, and we're hungry, and we said to the church, don't give them money. They didn't listen to us. Yeah. They gave them money, and they were gone in a second, and it all went up the nose.
Well, I agree. I there's no, you know, you're preaching to the choir there, because I know I agree with 100%. Yes.
Yeah, years ago I read Change My Attitude, a short story by George Orwell. It's down and out in London and Paris. And it was about beggars and how difficult a life they had.
Oh, yeah.
In their manipulation and just trying to survive.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And yes,
yeah.
Of course, they're going to try and get what they can.
Yeah.
But it's not an easy life, and they don't make a lot of money. It's hard on them. So I changed my attitude again.
That's the way I feel about it. You know, it's very difficult, you know. And sometimes you have them, she'll come up to the car, the mother like this, you know, she's got a little baby there, it comes 2 or 3 months old, and she'll want money. And, you know, obviously, you know, she's exploiting the child, you know. But you think, okay, well, what are you going to do? I mean, so I give them like a lay, you know, and they're very happy to get it. And I think, well, I hope she buys milk with it and not give it to her husband or her boyfriend to buy booze with, you know. And so, but who knows? I mean, it's I would rather do that than to judge the person. Okay, and maybe I'll change the time. Maybe I'll get smarter about that in time. I don't know. You know, but I don't give them any more than that. Okay, let's put it like that. Because if they need more than that, I invite many of them to come to Casa Alba to our day center. You know, I say, okay, now I'll give them a card. I'll come down here. We'll give you some food. You know, we'll get you in the program and everything. And some of them show up. Some of them come. Usually they don't.
When I was in one of my AA groups, we had a man who had been he'd basically been a gutter drunk. He was in the gutter most of the time he was in really, really bad shape for a very, very long time, and he used to panhandle. And he would have his hat out, and a lot of times he'd be literally laying down, getting over a hangover. And he said he did this for years and years and years. He just panhandled. Everybody, you know, people would go by and give him money. He said this one time, this woman walked by, and he said, I don't know why, something about her, she dropped a $5 bill in his hat, and he looked up at her, and he said, I can't do this anymore. And he got sober.
Wow. Amen.
So that changed my perspective about, do I have the right to judge what this person is going to do with this money? It maybe there's a point where God is saying, okay, this time is the last time, and I'm going to pull you up out of this and bring you back. So, you know, that's why I don't have a problem giving people money. You know, right now what we do is we give them little free packs. We make the packets of food. And I've never had anybody, you know, say, well, I don't want that. You know, they're always very grateful and they're always very gracious. And, you know, it's, you still have to love them. I mean, you still have to show them love. If you pass them by, what are you teaching them? That you're a Christian that doesn't care?
And also, you know, but this is discipleship, because, I mean, maybe, you know, maybe that example of love will be that example that they need, you know, that's going to say, you know, maybe it's like what that one guy you're talking about. Maybe the love that he saw in that woman, you know, was what inspired him to say, you know, I've got to do something different. And
I think we're finished. Thank you very, very much.
My pleasure.